Good morning. O come, Emmanuel. These are words of expectation. Those are words of someone who's waiting. They're words of hope. And as we celebrate the birth of Jesus this season, as we walk through the four Sundays of Advent, the 4 weeks of Advent, we're going to be looking at these four themes. We've already been talking about that this morning. These themes of hope and peace and joy and love. And I love Advent. We didn't observe it really in my house growing up, and that's fine. But Jamie and I do enjoy walking through these Advent weeks with our kids in our house. And it's just really good. I love the intentional focus on what Christmas really means. Just continually bringing that focus back to Jesus and preparing our hearts again for the coming of our Savior. It's a good thing. So this year we're doing something a little different here as a church. I hope you'll like it. We're using Christmas hymns as springboards for our Advent themes. And this was, I have to give credit where credit is due. This was Keith Perlazzi's idea. It was a good idea, I think. And because we sing these songs, and I think most of us like to sing and to hear Christmas carols and Christmas songs this time of year, right? I mean, if you don't, well, I don't know, I guess bah humbug, I guess, for you. But we like these Christmas carols and these Christmas songs, but is it possible that they become so familiar, just so much just a part of the fabric of the season that we don't really hear anymore or feel the meaning behind them? Now, hymns, Christmas hymns or otherwise, are not gospel. They're not to be treated as scripture unless they're actually quoting scripture. So we don't build our doctrine. We don't build our beliefs on hymns, and we're not going to do that. We're not going to be preaching from the hymns as if they had some sort of authority. But we are going to be looking at the scripture behind them. It's almost as if these hymns are a zipper. And as we open the zipper, we see the richness of the scripture that's behind these themes, these songs. O come, Emmanuel. And that's our hymn for today. And it's a hymn of hope. And it's often sung. We sing those first few lines in somber tones. We sing that first line or two with a serious look on our face because it sounds, it's almost sad. It's desperate. It's longing. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appears. So the song is expressing this heart of the one who waits. The heart of expectation. But then the song takes a turn and it says, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to thee, O Israel. And we start to hear the desperation turning and the longing turning and the hope turning toward fulfillment and joy. And how appropriate is it for us that both the longing and the fulfillment would be expressed in the same song? Because for us, as we think about the coming of Christ, this greater concept of hope is both fulfilled and unfulfilled. There's a hope that's been realized, and there's a hope that remains in front of us. So let's talk about that a little bit. Emmanuel, the word Emmanuel, simply means God with us. And long before Jesus was born, many years before Jesus was born, God had a message for his people. And he said to his people through the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 7, verse 14, he said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Then in Matthew, after the birth of Jesus, it points back to that prophecy and it says, now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which being translated means God with us. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful hope. God with us. Imagine for a second. Try to transport yourself back to the time when this was written. Back to the time of Isaiah. Long before Jesus was born. Okay? And God is promising to introduce himself to humanity in a way that was brand new. In a way that only he could. By doing something that only he could do. Something that was impossible. God was going to come to us. God was going to bring himself to us miraculously. The virgin would conceive. Something only God could do. And so the writer of Isaiah and the reader of Isaiah, long before Jesus was born, they dreamed of this time when God would come to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And they knew that it would be miraculous. It would be extraordinary. God, no longer distant. God, not aloof or far away, but God with us. Amazing. Something to look forward to. Something to dream about. Something to give hope. And so for them, for the people of that day, looking forward to Emmanuel, looking forward to when God would be with us, the people of that day could look past the pain, the sorrow, the mourning of the day. They could look past the struggles and they could say there's hope. Hope is coming. Emmanuel, God will be with us. Because the concept of hope can't possibly be separated from the idea of Emmanuel, God with us. Where God is, there is hope. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, you could as easily say, if God is with us, who could be against us? Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Folks, when God enters the equation, whatever the equation is, hope comes with him. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, we are not the people of Isaiah's day. Hope came down. Emmanuel was born 2,000 years ago. And because of that, our perspective on Emmanuel is a little bit different from theirs. It's more complete, to be honest. The people of Isaiah's day could only look forward because Emmanuel had not yet come, but now he has come. And we can see his impact in our lives and in our world. God with us in every part of our lives. And when God comes, when God is with us, hope comes with him. And what I want to look at this morning is how Emmanuel brings hope to every part of us, to our past, to our lives today, and to our futures. So let's talk a little bit about our past. You know, something that I've heard a lot recently, and something honestly I tend to say a lot myself, is this phrase, it is what it is. It is what it is. How many of you have heard that phrase or used that phrase? Yeah, it's pretty common out there, and I use it a good bit myself. It is what it is. And what we mean when we say that is that what's happened has happened. The reality that we're dealing with, whatever it is not going to be changed by pretending it's something else. It is what it is. Might as well accept it. And doesn't that describe the way that we tend to think about our past? How many of us would love to have a do-over button where we could push this button and get a do-over? And do it again, where we could undo what happened in the past. Things that we've done. Things that were done to us. But we don't have a do-over button. We can't change it. We can't make it go away. It happened. It exists. It's permanent. It is what it is. Until Emmanuel enters the equation. God with our past. And you know what? God doesn't relate really well to the concept of it is what it is. I'm not sure that that phrase is in his vocabulary. Because we look at our past and we say it is what it is. We look at our past and we see this pile of ashes. We say, it is what it is. It's a pile of ashes. You might as well accept that it's a pile of ashes and move on with your life and keep on going. God says, no. I'll turn those ashes into beauty. I have a different perspective on the past. And if you think that your past is what it is, and that it's set in stone, and that there's no redemption to be had for it, then you haven't introduced your past to Emmanuel. God doesn't view our past the same way we view our past. And when God enters the equation, when Emmanuel comes, God with us, hope comes with him. In Joel chapter 2, verse 25, God said, I will make up for you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. Now, was God just talking to farmers here? Was God just giving a promise to farmers who had lost crops over a period of time and he was going to restore that for them? No. He was talking about so much more than that. He was talking about our past. The years, the moments, the experiences that are lost, the things that are destroyed, the things that we look back and we see ashes. God can restore. Yes, it happened. No, we can't change it. But Emmanuel can birth hope out of it. Something only he can do. Isaiah 61 verse 3 is a significant passage of scripture for us as a church. But God speaks to his children and he says, listen to this. He says, I will give you a garland instead of ashes. Amen. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. The mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Out of the ashes, oaks. God doesn't believe in it is what it is. Remember that the coming of Emmanuel is miraculous. When God came to earth 2,000 years ago, he did it in a way that only he could do it. It was miraculous. He did what only he could do. And when God steps into our past, he does what only he can do. And when he steps into it, hope comes with him. O come, Emmanuel. Do you know that God, the coming of Emmanuel, brings hope to the seeds that have been planted in our past? You know, I've listened to frustrated, disappointed parents talking about how their children have walked away from the Lord. I've listened to missionaries talk about spending years of their lives in a foreign field telling people about Jesus, only to have left that field without having a single person give their heart to Jesus. I've heard people describe prayers poured out over decades with no perceivable results. And we look at the words we've said, and we look at the years we've spent, we look at the prayers that we've poured out, and we see no results. And from our own perspectives, when we look at all of that, all of those efforts in the past have been for nothing. But you know what? Emmanuel, God with our past. Emmanuel was with us. God was with the moments when we prayed for that son or that daughter or that friend. Emmanuel was there when we shared the word of Jesus Christ with someone else, when we talked to our children about the Lord. And because of that, because of Emmanuel, because God with our past, there's hope for the seeds that were planted. Emmanuel is watching those seeds. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 7, I love this passage. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but what? But God was causing the growth. Paul says, so then neither the one who plants is anything or the one who waters is anything. It's God who causes the growth. Thank God that he is with us. Emmanuel means that we weren't alone when the seed was planted. We weren't acting in a vacuum. God was with us. Emmanuel, God with our past. And we might have lost our place of influence. We might not be able to speak into that life the way that we could before. Our part in the process might have come to an end without seeing any measurable results. But the one who's overseeing it all is still active. And he's still watching that seed. He's still working. God with our past brings hope to the seeds that were planted, to the situations and for people that we thought were hopeless. Now, not only does Emmanuel, God with us, step into our past, but he's present with us today. You know, the people in Isaiah's day, they could only look forward, and they looked forward and they said, Emmanuel, God will be with us. But we can truly say, Emmanuel, God with us now. God with us today. And wherever Emmanuel is, what? Hope. Hope comes with him. Emmanuel is hope today. Hope for chains broken. You know, the song longs for the day when Emmanuel will ransom captive Israel. And we long for the day when God would be with us, to walk with us, to lend his power and his wisdom to all those messy corners of our lives. And for us, that day is today. It's now. Today in our lives, we're assaulted by so many things. We're tempted by so many things. And where will the power come to fight? How can we be rid of these chains of sin that weigh us down? And Emmanuel brings hope because God is with us, because God is walking with us. He has walked in our shoes. He's experienced temptation. He knows what we're going through, and he has the power to pull us out of it, to pull us through it. Hebrews 2:18 assures us that since he himself was tempted, in that he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. The one with the power to save, the one who has walked in our shoes, Emmanuel, is with us today. He's walking with us today. Emmanuel in our darkest days. Emmanuel in our deepest temptation. Emmanuel, God with us in our most difficult situations. There's hope because of Emmanuel, God with us. Because of Emmanuel, there's hope for our relationships today. How many of you know that our relationships are in trouble? All over the place, wherever we look, our relationships are in trouble. In our churches, in our families, in our jobs, in our friendships. In the Bible, James very astutely describes the natural state into which we tend to see our relationships fall. And when he said this in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, James says, what's the source of these quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. And that's us. I mean, that's the spirit that's communicated with us. In our own normal human passions, we destroy relationships. It's just what we do. And we'll keep on doing it unless we embrace Emmanuel, God with us. When God enters the relationship equation, whatever that relationship is, he brings hope. When Emmanuel comes, he brings love instead of selfishness. He brings joy instead of self-pity. He brings peace in the place of conflict escalation. He brings patience where we might have had a short fuse. He brings kindness instead of revenge. Goodness where malice had been. Faithfulness in place of the urge to abandon. Gentleness in the place of harshness. And self-control in the place of a reactive spirit. How different, folks, look at this list. How different would our relationships be if these qualities ruled in our hearts? And I read through this list, and I wish it sounded more like me. And by myself, I know that my relationships are doomed. But Emmanuel changes everything. Emmanuel brings hope for my relationships, for your relationships today. Emmanuel can do something that only he can do. He can do something miraculous. He can cause the fruit of his Spirit to grow in my life, to grow in my relationships. There's hope for today because of Emmanuel, because God is with us. Because of Emmanuel, God with us, there's hope. There's hope for our past. There's hope for today. And there's hope. There's a part of this great hope that's still ahead of us. Just like the writer of the song, O Come, Emmanuel, and like the writer and the reader of the book of Isaiah, we still look forward as well. There's a hope that's still to come. And this is where we get to the heart of it all. This last hope, this hope that's still to come. And folks, if you haven't been paying attention before, if there's only one part of this sermon that you listen to or remember, then this is it. Because of Emmanuel, God with us, we have a hope. And much more than a hope, we have a confidence that God will keep the promises that he's made. We have a hope, we have a confidence that when Jesus said he'd be preparing a place for us on the other side of the grave, that he meant what he said. We have a confidence that when we confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, when we believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we were saved, that God has a place for us on the other side of the grave. Because of Emmanuel, we have a hope. We have a confidence that we will once again walk and talk with loved ones who have died in the Lord. And this hope of heaven, this confidence of being held in the hand of God, being reconciled, being reconnected with the God who loves us through Jesus Christ, that is ultimately what Emmanuel is all about. That hope. Emmanuel, folks, listen. Emmanuel came for one reason. And that reason is you. And if you're one of these people, if you walked through the door of this church this morning because that's just what you do around Christmas time, that's great. If you're here today because your parents drug you here and you had no choice in the matter, or your spouse wanted you to come, or you're here today because that special someone attends here and you're hoping you can catch their attention today, then this is what you need to hear. The song says, O come, Emmanuel, ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here. And that's you. That's me. That's all of us, apart from Emmanuel, until Emmanuel comes into the equation. We're captives to sin and death. We're prisoners waiting for our death sentence to be meted out. We mourn under the weight of our sin. We are exiled. We're separated from God, from the God who loves us. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And folks, our sin drives a wedge between us and God. But Emmanuel comes. And Emmanuel changes everything. And Jesus is his name. And the hope that Jesus brings is so much more than just the miracle of a baby being born to a virgin 2,000 years ago. That's important. Because God started his journey with us with the virgin birth, with something, doing something miraculous, something that only he could do. But that was only the beginning. He kept on doing what only he could do. He lived a life without sin, in spite of every temptation, going through all the things that we went through, something only he can do. The penalty for sin is death. Only a perfect sacrifice could perfectly take away that penalty of sin. And Jesus, when nobody and no thing could take away his life, he chose to lay it down. Something only he could do. He defeated death after 3 days after being killed, he rose up from the grave just because he chose to, something only he could do. He left this earth. He went up into heaven to prepare a place for you, something only he could do. And he did it all. Everything. Everything he did was for one reason, so that you would have the opportunity today to allow him to do one more thing that only he can do. Everything he did, the whole point of Emmanuel, God with us, was for this one thing. That one moment when you say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, do once again what only you can do. Take away my sin. Forgive me. Take my past. Take my present. Take my future. I'm giving it all to you. I believe in you. And the sacrifice you made for my sin, I accept it. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me. Folks, he's knocking. He's not beating down the door. He doesn't have a SWAT team behind him. He's not even standing there trying to sweet talk you into opening the door. He's knocking. He has done what only he could do, so that today you could do what only you can do. And only you can open the door. And folks, that's ultimately what Emmanuel is all about. That's the whole point of the hope of Advent. The worship team can come forward. We're gonna close this sermon by singing, O Come, Emmanuel. Today, if Emmanuel is knocking on the door of your heart, now while we sing this song, or after communion, as we close the service, if God is talking to you, if you hear Emmanuel knocking on the door of your heart, do what only you can do and allow him to do what only he can do. Open the door. Accept the forgiveness for your sin that he offers. And if you'd like someone to pray with you this morning, come to the front of the church, either now during the song or after communion when, as we end the service, come to the front. Someone would love to pray with you as you open the door to Emmanuel in your own heart. God says, at the acceptable time, I have heard you. I've listened to you. On the day of salvation, I've helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Don't ignore that knocking if you're hearing it this morning. Let's pray. Lord, this Christmas season, we thank you for being the hope. Thank you for the hope that you bring. Hope for our past. Hope for today. Hope for the future. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. What a beautiful picture that is. You doing what only you can do to bring hope into the world. And I pray this morning for that person here today who's hearing you knock on the door of their heart, and I pray that they would open the door to you. In Jesus' name, amen.